Some of you might be very observant if you read your text messages. I know somebody was, because I got one, saying, what happened to chapters 10 and 11? You might not notice that, might have noticed that Steve's not here today. He has been asked to preach away. And when the rota for sort of preaching came out, this is what I got. So I've been moved a week forward. It's good that Steve's gone to preach other places. Not gone, but gone to preach other places, because we've been blessed, haven't we, by people coming to preach here. So it's good to release him for that. So for the observant of you, well done. Okay. I've said in the past that I really like God's sense of humour. I really do. And 20 years ago, about, I was on an Alpha course, and I boldly stated, if I can't believe the first words of the Bible, how can I believe the rest of it? And now, 20 years later, I'm preaching from that book. God is good.
All the time.
All the time. Amazing, isn't it? You may be intrigued by my title. We'll get to that later. But I think we'll hear from Scripture first. And Jeanette's going to come up and read us Genesis chapter 12.
The Lord had said to Abram, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those that bless you, and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he'd taken into his household at Haran. And he headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up a camp beside the Oak Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Then the Lord appeared to Adam and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages to Negev. At that time, a severe famine struck the land Canaan, forcing Abram to go down into Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abram said to his wife Sarai, look, you're a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife. Let's kill him, then we can have her. So please tell them you're my sister. Then they will spare my life and treat me well because of their interest in you. And sure enough, when Abram arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarai's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, the king, and Sarai was taken into his palace. Then Pharaoh gave Abram many gifts because of her: sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues upon Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Abram's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abram and accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say, 'She is my sister,' and allow me to take her as my wife? Now then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here." Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, and he sent Abram out of the country along with his wife and all his possessions.
Thank you, Jeanette. A couple of weeks ago, Savoz preached about Noah and the flood. And despite God's judgment of sin, sadly, much like today, most people ignored him and they continued to sin. But a handful of people tried to follow him, and Abram was one of them. So, from verse 1, I'm just going to repeat it. The Lord said to Abram, "Leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on the earth will be blessed through you." Christiana is a very good, if you've been around her for a long time, she reads scripture, and she advises to read around the scripture you're doing. So I did. Abraham, I'm going to say him Abraham, I can't do anything different, was not where he should have been. How do we know? The end of chapter 11 says, "One day, Terah took his son Abram and his daughter-in-law Sarai, his son Abram's wife, and his grandson Lot, his son Haran's child, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran, and he settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran." You can check that out. Terah, Abram's father, was headed for Canaan, but he never got there. Sometimes we are not where God wants us to be. I'm going to expand on that a little later. So keep listening. What was it that God asked Abram to do? Any answers? Any answers? Move.
And take his wife and family, took his brother as well.
Okay.
And go to the land that the Lord had shown.
Okay. First one, leave his country, leave his relatives, and leave his family. Do you fancy doing any of them things? You fancy leaving Britain? Okay, then I'll give you this. Have you ever been to a conference and there's been a call from the front that says, "Go to the nations"? Have you? There's always a call to go to the nations. Always a call to go to the nations. Can you put your hands up? Put your hands down. I tell you what I do. I sit on them. I say, "No way, that's not for me." But it is for some people. We have to accept it is for some people. Catherine, a girl who was in a growth group I led many years ago, she's now living in Zambia. with a husband and two children. She's doing that. She's responded to the call, teaching the locals how to improve farming methods. Where did Andy Parr go?
Japan.
He went with Lynn and his children. The call is there for those that hear it. Special. Do you fancy leaving your relatives? I still live quite close to mine. They're within about half an hour's drive maximum, or less. It was a gradual move for me. I sort of bought a house a few streets away from my mum and dad's, and then I sort of went to Oswald Twistle, and then I went a bit further and I ended up in Darwin. Where I'm going to end up, hopefully, is not Zambia, but there we go. Most people can relate to that, not moving very far from home, but others move quite a long way. There's a family that has joined us recently, and we know from the miracles that we've seen that Pete and Beth have been called here by God. They've had to leave their old life at home behind and start to build a new one here. New jobs, new home, new friends, new schools. It's just not Pete and Beth, it's the children as well. Blackburn is not quite Japan, but it is in the north. And thank you, Pete, Beth. You've already been a blessing to us already. Do you fancy leaving your friend, your family?
Definitely not.
Definitely not?
Sometimes.
Not sure your nan would say that. Some of you might say, yes, please. Let's go get out of here. But is it spirit-led? Is it? What do you do when you hear from God? What did Abram do when he heard from God?
Obeyed.
He obeyed. Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household at Haran, and headed for the land of Canaan. When they arrived in Canaan, Abram travelled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. Abram didn't question God at all. He just left with everything he owned. I helped Pete and Beth move, and I think they had as much stuff. What happened next? Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give you this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, Abram travelled south and set up camp in the hill country with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord and worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued travelling south by stages toward the Negev. During my research, I learned that God's people at that time built altars. A lot. They weren't just places of sacrifice. For them, altars symbolised communion with God and commemorated notable encounters with him. Built of rough stones and earth, altars remained in place for many years as continual reminders of God's protection and promises. Remember last week, Steve telling us about Noah? What did he do when he got off the ark? Do we remember? He built an altar and he sacrificed. Everything had been washed away by the flood. God, as we heard today, put of a rainbow in the sky. A new covenant between God and man. That's what happened. That's what Noah did. I believe Abraham regularly built altars for the same reasons. One, for prayer and worship. And two, as a reminder of God's promises to bless him. Abraham couldn't survive spiritually without regularly renewing his love and loyalty to God. Building altars helped Abraham remember that God was the centre of his life. There's a pattern here. Instruction, obedience, blessing, and worship. This is a pattern that's repeated through history. Repeated through here. Over and over again. Right to the present day. Right to you and me. Who's done that? Who's heard from God? Been obedient? Got a blessing? Worshipped him? Hands up. If you haven't, you're missing something. Challenge. You haven't, you're missing something. And why? What happens when you miss it is the next bit. Abraham and Sarah in Egypt. At that time, a severe famine struck the land of Canaan, forcing Abraham to go down to Egypt, where he lived as a foreigner. As he was approaching the border of Egypt, Abraham said to his wife, "Look, Sarai, look, you are a very beautiful woman. When the Egyptians see you, they will say, 'This is his wife. Let's kill him. Then we can have her.' So please tell them you are my sister. Then they will spare my wife and treat me well because of their interest in you." And sure enough, when Abraham arrived in Egypt, everyone noticed Sarai's beauty. When the palace officials saw her, they sang her praises to Pharaoh, their king, and Sarai was taken into his palace. Then Pharaoh gave Abraham many gifts because of her: sheep, goats, cattle, male and female donkeys, male and female servants, and camels. But the Lord sent terrible plagues on Pharaoh and his household because of Sarai, Abraham's wife. So Pharaoh summoned Abraham and accused him sharply. "What have you done to me?" he demanded. "Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she is my sister and allow me to take her as my wife? Now, then, here is your wife. Take her and get out of here." Pharaoh ordered some of his men to escort them, and he sent Abraham out of the country along with his wife and all his possessions. Abraham was not where he was supposed to be. He wasn't in the land God sent him to. He was in Egypt. He felt circumstances had forced him to go there. He lied and sinned. He lied about his relationship with his wife, and even though he gained materially from Pharaoh, he lost his way spiritually. Did Abraham build any altars in Egypt? We've already said, or I've already said, that it was important for Abraham to build altars. That's his way of communicating with God. Yet he built none. He lost his way. He wasn't following the pattern. He wasn't doing that. Are we where God wants us to be? Are we? Or have we gone somewhere thinking that's where we should be? but it really isn't. Sometimes we fall into sin because of where we've gone and the people that we are with, or even what we're doing. I know these are hard questions. I'm still going to ask them. It may be something that you're convicted of. Building altars is not bricks and sacrificing animals. It's about worship. It's about worshiping the Lord. The last one on there. I don't know where your mission field is, where you think you're called to be. Is it at work? Is it down the pub? Is it in school? Is it in college? Where are you putting your efforts? Your motives might have been right to start with, but have they become a burden? Is it spirit-led? The test is that. Is that circle, square, whatever you want to call it, broken? Have you had instruction from God to be where you want to be? Have you gone there? Or have you gone there on your own? Have you received blessings there? Are you worshipping God through it? It may not be a place. It may be a person, a friend that you've been called or think you've been called to help. Don't do it out of duty. It's God asked you to do it. Has he? Because if he has, all them things are right. And you'll carry on. You'll have energy. You'll have strength. You'll be able to do it. If it's not, then no. Not only you know the answers to that question, I don't, but God does. God knows if you should be where you should be. You can't fool him. Can't fool him. So what were the consequences of being in Egypt for Abraham? Apart from being distanced from God, he'd lost his wife. She was in a palace somewhere else. He'd acquired a lot more possessions, camels, donkeys, female servants, all kinds of stuff. You might think this is a win situation. He's got lots more stuff, material things. No. When they were driven out, they had too many possessions, him and Lot. Disputes, fights, things between their herdsmen. They couldn't sustain themselves together. So, material, more stuff, and suddenly, what have you got? I'll read it. Chapter 13, verse 10 to 13. Lot took a long look at the fertile plains of the Jordan Valley in the direction of Zoar. The whole area was well watered everywhere, like the Garden of the Lord or the beautiful land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Lot chose for himself the whole Jordan Valley to the east of them. He went there with his flocks and servants and parted company from his uncle Abram. So Abram settled in the land of Canaan, and Lot moved his tents to a place near Sodom and settled among the cities of the plain. But the people of this area were extremely wicked and constantly sinned against the Lord. Strife, division, separation. Consequences of being in Egypt. Consequences of being not where you want to be. or who God wants you to be. Consequences. Are there arguments in your house? Have you gone somewhere where you shouldn't be? Question. Later on, what ends up in a very bad place because of it. He's on the plane, not with his family anymore. We all know what's going to happen next. Somebody else is preaching on that. After all this sidetracking, Abram was now back in the land of Canaan, and the Lord spoke to him again. Yeah? Back where he should be. Back in communication with God. Yeah? Verse 14. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north, south, east, and west. I am giving all this land, as far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession, and I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I'm giving it to you. Sorry for the interlude. I was in a stride then. I was in a stride. I got you. Oh, you're all raptured. And now I've got to build you all up again to the place where you should be.
Not from the beginning, Jeff.
It's all right. Not Andy Parr. I've got off. In fact, I've got... I'm on page 9. Big words. Where was I? Do you remember what I just said? About what? Right, I'll read again from verse 14. After Lot had gone, the Lord said to Abram, look as far as you can see in every direction, north and south, east and west, I am giving all this land. As far as you can see, to you and your descendants as a permanent possession. And I will give you so many descendants that like the dust of the earth, they cannot be counted. Go and walk through the land in every direction, for I am giving it to you. So Abram moved his camp to Hebron and settled near the oak grove belonging to Mamre. There he built another altar to the Lord. Did Abraham really know what God had given him? I'm not sure he did. It's a thing to see. Different thing to walk. Abraham didn't. So God asked him to walk through the land in every direction to realize what he had. Do you really know what God has given you? Do you realize what you have? The grass isn't always greener. I suspect some of us know that, and some of us may not. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know why this preach is happening today. It's been moved. You're here for a reason. I know that. You're here to hear this today. For whatever reason. If you were not going to be here next week, you would not hear it. But you are. I don't believe in coincidences. You are here to hear this message. The grass is not always greener. I really think people miss this. Where God wants us to be and our promised land are the same place. Do you get that? Be satisfied with what God's given you. If you are seeking change, like Pete did, is it spirit-led? Does it fit that pattern? Does it? If it doesn't, then don't do it. Or you will be stuck in Egypt, not building any type of altars. Where did Abraham walk? This is a question. What did he take possession of? What did he leave as his inheritance? Joshua 1, verse 3 to 5. I promise you that at what I promised Moses, wherever you set foot, you will be on the land I have given you, from the Negev wilderness in the south to the Lebanon mountains in the north, from the Euphrates River in the east to the Mediterranean Sea in the west, including all the land of the Hittites. No one will be able to stand against you as long as you live, for I will be with you as I was with Moses. I will not fail you or abandon you. What if Abraham had walked a couple of miles? The promised land would be very, very small, wouldn't it? Take God's promises, do what he says. You put the map up. Look at that. The land promised by the Israelites under Joshua, or possessed, it says. How old was Abram when he left Haran? Can you remember? 75 years old. 75 he was. I do a lot of walking. I couldn't have walked that lot. That's what he did, if you read it. Walk through the promised land. 75, he walked miles. Not bad for an old elderly gentleman, I would have thought. And he was 75 when he left his dad's place in Haran. So what was he when he come back across? I don't know.
Old.
Older than you, Pete.
Older than me.
How did he do it? He believed God. Simple as that. And he got off his butt. After another long time in Egypt, and wandering in the desert for 40 years, Joshua led the Israelites across the River Jordan into the promised land. And God said to him, from Joshua 1 verse 6, "Be strong and courageous, for you are the one who will lead these people to possess all the land I swore to their ancestors I would give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you will be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction." Study this book of instruction continually. Meditate on it day and night, and be sure to obey everything written in it. Then you will prosper and succeed in all you do. This is my command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Again, instruction, obedience, blessing, worship. Andy Parr did a preach about going through the River Jordan when he was doing Joshua. And he said, they picked up 12 stones from the riverbed. What did they do with them? They built an altar. He built another altar. Are you building altars where you are? Not the bricks and mortar stuff? Are you building altars where you are? That's what it's about. And then worshipping God. Worshipping God where you are. Worshipping God. This whole passage is about worship. It's about worshipping God. I'm going to wind it up there. Conclusion. I really feel that it's important that you take a few things away from me from this morning. I think that God's had for you. Where God wants you to be and your promised land is the same place. Be satisfied with what God's given you. It's more than you could possibly imagine. If you want change, ask God. Be spirit-led. Keep to the pattern. Keep to the pattern. If you've never done that circle, do it. Do it. And you'll go around again. And it'll be bigger. And it'll be bigger and it'll grow. And the things that you're being asked to do at the beginning will be bigger than the things that you started with. And suddenly, like Steve, you'll be up here. And me up here. Don't limit yourself. Don't. God doesn't. What will your spiritual inheritance be? We know what Abram's was. We saw it, big map. We saw what Tim's was on Friday. We heard everything. What he left. All the people he touched. Sometimes you don't know them. Sometimes you do. But there were a lot of people there I didn't know. But he touched them. That was his spiritual inheritance. That's what he's left behind. What are you going to leave behind? Andy said it. What happens? How many people are going to be at my funeral? I have no idea. What are you going to leave behind? What are you going to leave your children behind? And it's not money. Not talking about money. What are you going to leave your friends? What are you going to leave your family? That's where I'm up to. Some of you might have been convicted by the things I've said this morning. Hopefully I've done it gently enough for you. But if you want prayer for any of them things, I'll be happy to pray with you. Get somebody next to you to pray with you. Find somebody you trust to pray with you. Go back. Do that. That's all we're... I think that's all that God ever asked you to do. And he doesn't need you to do it. Where was God when Abraham came back across out of Egypt? He was there waiting for him. Wherever you go, if you go down a blind alley, God's waiting for you when you come back. He is. And he'll speak to you if you ask him. I'm going to ask Andy to come up and sing a song now. You can pick one. Blessed Be Your Name was good. I'm quite happy with that. If you feel that you need prayer, Philippa and Michael are ready for you. And anybody else. I'd just like to pray. Yes, Lord. I pray that every word that I've said this morning is of you. I know there are new people in this room who've maybe not heard me before. But I hope they've heard from you. Yeah. Not me. These are your words. Instruction, obedience, blessing, and most of all, worship.
That's what we're here for. Worship. Amen.